The Fan on Demand. Go to fan590.com and sign up to automatically receive the latest reports, features, and Fan 590 show highlights. This is the Showdown. With Showdown Joe on Toronto Sports Radio, The Fan 590.
Welcome to the Showdown. I am your host, Showdown Joe. For the next hour, we're going to talk mixed martial arts, UFC, Strikeforce, Shine Fights, and everything in between on Toronto Sports Radio, The Fan 590. Special guest in studio, Tyler the Intern, behind the glass, Jason the Celtic Nevins, who refuses to take his eyes off the screen as the Celtics are taking a beating from the Cleveland Cavaliers. Yeah, I know, Jason, they're winning 41-38. Ah, whatever. Anyways, and also behind the glass, my producer, who's making all the calls, answering your calls a little bit later on in the show, Joel McFadden, who's probably going to give me crap for something. Who knows what I'm going to do. Anyways, big week in the UFC last week. I was in Montreal to cover the event. If you missed it, you should have got on my Facebook. It's Showdown Joe 4 on Facebook. And, of course, on Twitter, Showdown Joe. Tyler Mason was here in Toronto, the Sportsnet intern. What a crazy event. What a bunch of crazy results in that main event, co-main event. Overall, what is your theory on what happened there in Montreal?
With the main event?
Whatever you like.
Well, I was surprised for a lot of the fights. It's unfortunate what happened to J-Mac. That was definitely
very first fight of the night.
Unforeseeable for that to happen, but a lot of the fights surprised me.
Just so you know, for J-Mac, broken fibula, dislocated ankle. He's got a bunch of plates and screws that have been inserted. He will be out for quite some time.
And in the main event, I won't say I was surprised that Shogun won, but I did choose Machida beforehand to win because I thought he had Shogun figured out.
That's why you're the co-host. That's why you're the intern.
I do have to give you props because you did call that one.
I called a few things in that fight, by the way.
But I never could foresee, you know, Shogun finish him in the first round. I don't think anyone could have called that.
No. I said the fight would likely go in the fourth or fifth round. I thought Shogun was going to finish him off sooner rather than later. He did an amazing job. But one of the things that that we talked about here that I talked with, like Randy Couture, David Loazzo, George St. Pierre, a bunch of other guys, Frankie Edgar, so many guys that I interviewed and getting various predictions. One of the things I kept saying to them, do you think Shogun is in Machida's head? Most of them said no. I think, will you be surprised if Machida takes Shogun down to the ground? And they all said there's no way Machida's taking Shogun down to the ground. He got two takedowns in that fight. Did an excellent job. Could have TKO'd him. You should have worked his ground and pound because his ground and pound is very underrated. He's got lethal ground and pound. But when he got on top of Shogun twice, the key elements to that fight, you'll see it on Monday's episode of MMA Connected. We'll do a beginning of the end. I might as well spill it right now, but you really want to see it so you can take a look at what I'm talking about. Underhooks. The importance of the underhooks when you have half guard. You're a grappler. You've won some good tournaments grappling-wise. The importance of that left underhook, and you saw Shogun getting that left underhook, which eventually led to himself standing right back up, which eventually led to that right. He actually gave Machida a taste of his own medicine. It was a counter right hand. He slipped to Machida a straight cross, boom, hit him with the overhand right, dropped to the ground, finished him off. Talk about the importance of the underhook, because that's one of the things you drilled for a very long time.
Yeah, on the ground, especially in half guard, underhooks is key. Whether you're on top or the bottom, if you control the underhooks, you control the half guard. And for Shogun to get up, he could have even taken his back if Machida didn't whizzer him properly or whatever. But, you know, for a stand-up fighter, underhook's key if he wants to stand back up. And, you know, Shogun pulled it off with very little resistance, which I think it is dangerous for Machida to go to the ground, though. Like, he did it several times. But with a guy like Shogun, he has such quick leg locks, like, It's very dangerous to go on the ground with him.
Either way, it's a dangerous situation. I think for sure if he could have used his ground and pound, it may have been a different fight for Machida. Now, if you want to learn more about underhooks and grappling in general, you definitely want to check out the MMA Expo. We'll be talking to Gerald Chopik, the founder of the MMA Expo, after the break, after the 9:20 break. He'll bring us up to speed on all the different things that are happening at the MMA Expo, as well as we will talk about MMA Day, which the press release went out a couple of days ago. We're going to be on Queen's Park, right on the legislature, on the government property, to have a beautiful rally, a peaceful rally, to greenlight mixed martial arts in the province of Ontario. We will hear from many of the fighters, many of the athletes, many of the mothers whose kids train mixed martial arts. We'll get into that a little bit later on with Jerry Chopik. Hopefully everyone listening into this program can come out there and support. We're hoping to get thousands and thousands of people on Queen's Park. It's Saturday, May 22nd. We will get into that a little bit more. In terms of the MMA Expo, though, before we continue with UFC 113, a lot of grappling events. Are you going to be competing there?
Hopefully I'm going to be competing in the no-gi tournament because These are going to be two of the bigger tournaments throughout the year.
Get out there and support Tyler the Intern. He's going to kick some butt at the MMA Expo in these grappling tournaments.
I'm just hoping that the knee can hold up and I can get in the gym enough
Stop
times.
Giving away. He's supposed to say lower body injury, remember? That's what the hockey guys do.
Okay, I got to make sure my lower body injury holds up.
There you go. Now, UFC 113 continuing with that main event. I'm a firm believer. You and I caught up with Shogun along with Jacob and Jimmy from MMA Connected. We caught up with Shogun here in Toronto. He had, just such a humble guy, smiling ear to ear with the belt. It was an extremely shiny belt, by the way, ladies and gentlemen. I mean, most champions, their belts are great. I guess the UFC gave him a brand new one. Very, very shiny. He's very, very happy, smiling ear to ear. I've interviewed Shogun on numerous occasions. I've met him, I can't even tell you how many times. What was your first impression being in front of the new UFC light heavyweight champion?
Oh, you can tell this is a big career milestone for him, something he's been working to for a long time. You know, after spending all those years in Pride and not having the chance to go for the belt because a teammate was holding it and winning the Grand Prix,
2005, yep.
Yep. And coming to the UFC, you can tell that this is just the thing he's been working for his whole career. This is the pinnacle of everything. And now he's finally kind of achieved what he's been working for all those years.
The one thing I really like about Shogun is let's face it, this guy is an absolute beast. I don't want to use the wrong word here, but he's a destroyer. Okay, the way he got on top of Machida and finished him off in the mount, and just he got off of Machida on his own. Referee Yves Levine did not even have to stop the fight. Shogun knew that Machida was out, and he stepped off. He got off all by himself and realized the fight was over. That's class, if you ask me.
For sure, for sure.
Most guys would keep punching and punching and punching and really hurting the guy until the referee steps in. You know, Yves Levine could have stepped in earlier, but he kind of figured this is the champion. He may be able to get out. And plus, the punches are coming down so fast. Like, you have to be in a... I mean, being a certified ref myself, I know what it takes to get in there and step in. It's so fast at that elite level, but props to Shogun. It really shows his character, though, Tyler, don't you think?
Yeah, like, me and my friends that were watching it, we're really impressed with Shogun getting off before Yves Levine can even step in. But what's really scary about that division, it's a very striker-heavy division, and you have someone as aggressive and as skilled as Shogun now holding the title, and his knees are all good and everything's medically checking out, and he can really train like he should be. He's a scary dude to go up against.
I'm making it clear anytime anybody wants to interview. I did a bunch of radio interviews across the country, even a couple in the States, talking about Shogun and how everybody was talking about the Machida era. And again, being old school that I am, and I've always realized that Muay Thai in mixed martial arts is far superior than karate. Again, it depends on the practitioner. You see, most guys karate, that when they come in, they eventually go to Muay Thai for their striking aspect. People talked about the Machida era. It's the Machida era. Shogun put an end to that at UFC 104. Even though he lost, I scored it for Shogun. Now that he's officially the champion and made no bones about it, didn't let the fight go to the decision again, I'm a firm believer that Shogun has the skills to go back to those days at Chuck Liddell where he's going to defend this title on numerous occasions. There is talent in this division. Do you believe there are guys that can beat Shogun?
I think he's got to watch out for John Jones. I mean, this is a kid.
By the time John Jones makes it, how many fights is John Jones away, do you think?
He's probably about two fights away, I think. Once he gets, if he can get through Matyushenko, who's a proven veteran, I think he's one or two fights after that. I think his name is going to be definitely... He's already being considered a contender.
He's the only guy that I consider a real threat to Shogun right now. Take nothing away from Rampage and Rashad, who are great fighters. I just don't think their style matches up with a guy like Mauricio Shogun Hua.
I think Rampage would definitely have a lot of problems with leg kicks.
Like he did last time.
And I think Rashad, even if he could take Shogun down, he'd have a lot of problems.
He could
with,
take me down. Yeah, he'd take Shogun down pretty easily.
He'd have a lot of problems with Shogun's ground game. So I think John Jones probably is the future of this division, but Shogun should be able to hold on to the title until that happens.
The best thing about... Now, Shogun's still pretty young, okay? But the thing is, though, John Jones is far younger. So the longer this fight takes, the better it is for Johnny Bones Jones, because he's only going to get better, whereas Shogun's improvement from where he is right now is going to be in increments, whereas John Bones Jones, every time he fights, you'll see some drastic improvement. Now, Matyushenko, people are sleeping on Matyushenko. This is the main event for UFC Live 2, which will also air on Sportsnet. It's the second time he's main eventing this fight here. The janitor's no joke. Let's be honest for a second. He's experienced and a hard guy to take down.
No, he's a serious contender. He can go a full three rounds. And I don't think John Jones is going to take him lightly, but I think he is a little bit past his prime. And I think the way John Jones has been running through the 205 division, I don't think Matyushenko is going to be too much of a problem for him.
I mean, I also found it weird. You go and you beat Brandon Vera, and then your next fight's Matyuchenko. Sort of weird. So Forrest Griffin was forced to pull out of his fight with Antonio Rogério Nogueira. He's been replaced by Jason Brills, and people were wondering why didn't Johnny Bones Jones take this fight. There were reports that he wasn't in the gym training, preparing. He's just been relaxing since his last fight. But then he Twittered, and he said that I will never turn down a fight, never have, never will. Do you think he turned down this fight?
To be honest, I'm not sure. With Rogério, you have a serious striker, and maybe Jones was afraid of that, but he doesn't seem like the kind of guy that's going to turn down a fight. Most, like his fight with Bonner, I believe, was on short notice, and he seems to be a guy that'll take a fight at any time, any place.
Let's talk about the co-main event, as well as one of the other fights that was on the card. Co-main event, first off, Josh Koscheck taking on Paul Semtex Daly. Going into this fight, Koscheck talked a lot of trash, and people were wondering, is he going to stand and trade with Daly? Is he going to wrestle Daly? In a lot of the interviews we did for the pre-fight show on Saturday, everyone that I spoke to, I made it clear, do you believe this is Josh Koscheck's fight to lose? And I really believed it was, just in terms of what was at stake. At stake was a coaching position on the Ultimate Fighter opposite George St. Pierre. And, of course, the second thing is that title shot versus George St. Pierre. When you combine those two things, there's just too much at stake. And Josh Koscheck, in my opinion, technically fought the perfect fight. He was a wet blanket. He took down Daly, did what he had to do. People are calling it boring. I don't think you and I would really call it boring. It was a very technical. The takedowns were great, and he controlled them.
Yeah, his takedowns were amazing. They're some of the best in the welterweight division. Best, maybe some of the best in the UFC in general. I was a little disappointed with his back control, but you know he's probably just working on keeping the guy on the ground and preventing the stand up. So I'm expecting a really good fight between him and GSP because he's one of the few guys that is able to take GSP down with a legit straight up takedown.
Do you think this is a situation in that fight where Josh Koscheck could have done a lot more to finish off Daly? Because I personally believe he's got the skill set to ground and pound Daly into oblivion. Standing up, I think Daly would have knocked out Koscheck if they continued to fight standing up. But seeing as Koscheck didn't want to do a striking battle, which is a smart thing to do, you take Daly down, why not go for the finish? You think he was risking too much of letting Daly get up and stand up?
I think he was playing it safe.
Because even Dana White at the post-fight press conference, Tyler, said, you know, sometimes guys are going to fight safe.
I think that's what he was doing there. Like you said, there was too much at stake. But you could tell he wanted no business in the stand-up. When he was up against the fence against Daly, you could see fear in his eyes. You could see him getting nervous. And he was thinking, I have to get this takedown right now and control him on the ground. Because I don't think Koscheck wanted anything to do with Daly's left hook, especially after being knocked out or knocked down, depending on who you're talking to. Against Paulo Thiago's left hook, which was kind of a slapping left hook. So, you know, you get hit by one of those with Paul Daly and lights out.
Now, at the end of the fight, I never really noticed it only because I should have noticed it. I was kind of paying attention to what Daly was doing, if he was going to try and get the underhooks, if he was going to try, or if Koscheck was going to explode at one point in time. But our boss at Sportsnet, Bobby T, he noticed that Daly was yipping, or that Koscheck was yipping and yapping in Daly's ear. We pretty much know what he said. He was calling him a five-letter word that sort of describes a female feline, if you know what I'm saying, on numerous occasions, and just continued to berate him, eventually frustrating him to the point where Paul Daly, unfortunately, sucker-punched him after the fight, really ticking off Dana White. And when Dana White walked over, because Daly was on our side, the media side of the octagon, and when Dana White came over, I read his lips, and it wasn't exactly the, you know, children don't want to hear what he said to him, but in essence, it was like, are you crazy? What were you thinking? And he cut him. Agree or disagree with Dana White's decision to cut Paul Daly?
I think it's the kind of thing that you can't necessarily... You can see both sides of it. You know, Daly's a top fighter at 170. You can maybe keep him around. But some punishment had to happen, whether it was full-out cutting or not. I think, you know, it's a decision I would stand behind if I made it, or if my boss made it, I would stand behind it. Is it a decision I would make myself? I might take a little bit more time than right after the fight to make that kind of a decision. And I just got to say that Koscheck was really lucky that punch hit his arm instead of his face.
Well, it's funny because he was back in when he protected his face, which is a good thing. Canadians, also, by the way, Daly's now been cut. The commission is going to take a few weeks to run, quote-unquote, their tribunal to figure out what they're going to do with Paul Daly, whether it's a suspension and or a fine. Daly has since left the UFC and is now signed to fight in Australia in a couple of weeks. Canada went 1-for-7. Joe Dirksen was the only person to defeat his opponent. He defeated Tom Lawler. It was the one fight that we didn't really understand or believe was going to happen. The rest of the guys, Sam Stout, you know, they lost, stuff like that. You got a quick point to make?
That's twice I had to see Apollo Creed get knocked out.
That's true.
Or taking or lose.
Apollo Creed did lose it. The ring entrance for Tom Lawlor was absolutely classic. We'll continue to talk more UFC 113 when we take your calls a little bit later on. But coming up after the break, we have the founder of the MMA Expo, Jerry Chopik. He will talk about the MMA Expo and, of course, the big news about MMA Day. You're listening to The Showdown on Toronto Sports Radio, The Fan 590.
Share your passion for sports. Everything you talk about is on Toronto Sports Radio, The Fan 590 and fan590.com. This is The Showdown. Showdown with Showdown Joe on Toronto Sports Radio, The Fan 590.
Welcome back to The Showdown. I am your host, Showdown Joe. We're talking mixed martial arts, UFC, Strikeforce, Dream, and everything in between on Toronto Sports Radio, The Fan 590. Special guest in studio, Tyler the Intern, who will be competing at the MMA Expo tournament. You're doing no-gi, right?
No-gi. Hopefully competing.
That's right. Lower body injury. We talked about it in the last break. Well, everyone knows how much I love the MMA Expo. Last year on MMA Connected, I called it, it's like my holidays, my Christmas in the middle of the year, because it's my favorite time of the year. And at the same time, I get very upset with the founder, Jerry Chopik, because I have a job to do. I have a booth. I got to be there. I got to support my product. But unfortunately, he never allows me to walk the grounds because he forgets that I am a fan of mixed martial arts. And I should have the right to walk around the floor and be a fan. Joining us right now is Mr. Chopik, the founder of the Mixed Martial Arts Expo. Sir, how are you?
Well, I'm not bad, Joe. And, you know, you upset me for a lot of reasons, too, but we won't go into that right now.
That's a very good point. Very good point. Very good point. How you doing, sir?
We're doing great. We're doing great. And we've got a lot of things upcoming this year. And I'm so disappointed you are not going to be with us this year. That it really is disappointing.
That is true. I do have commitments with sports, and I'll be in Vancouver covering UFC 115. And Jerry and I are trying to work, is it vigilantly or vigilante? Trying to figure out a way for me to we will have a booth there, Jerry. I promise you we'll have a Showdown Entertainment, MMA Connected, Fan 590, the Showdown booth there. It's just a matter of, you know, I wish I could be there, let's be honest.
Well, you know, I saw your host for your booth there just the other day, and
yep.
You know, we're with Angie in place, we're probably okay without you.
She's actually she's a great representation for MMA Connected, and of course the company. We're also potentially going to have a second young lady who will remain nameless as I'm finalizing negotiations as we speak. If I can get her there, people will be very surprised as to find out who it is. She's got a pretty big name in the mixed martial arts beautiful community, if you know what I'm saying.
Awesome. Well, I'll look forward to that as well. Always a pleasure to work with you guys.
Now, let's talk about this June 12th, June 13th event. It is stacked. And I mean, Tyler over here, he's going to be competing at the event because it's so great. There's so many different sports and tournaments that are happening there. Can you give us a little rundown?
Well, we do have a lot going on this year. You know, each year it does get bigger, and like all businesses, like your own, you know, you build it year to year, and it gets more and more momentum. And this year, I'm really excited about what we have this year on the show for six major tournaments. I mean, Abu Dhabi Gi and Abu Dhabi No Gi tournaments. First time ever in history that they've been on the same city at the same time, and we're really excited about that. So for competitors who would have always liked to compete in an Abu Dhabi tournament, I mean, imagine you can do both in the same weekend in the city, not have to travel overseas. I mean, that's outstanding.
Yeah, for those that don't know, the Abu Dhabi tournaments and trials are there to get people to the next level, whether it's the North American trials and get you to the World Championships of Submission Grappling, which are generally held, in Dubai or in Abu Dhabi under the Sheikh Tahoon. But here's a chance for Canadians now to compete and qualify at the MMA Expo. I mean, let's be honest, that is ridiculous. That is absolutely amazing that you've got it at the tournament here.
Well, it's pretty sick, and we actually have the president of the Abu Dhabi Combat Submission Club coming over from overseas and bringing their head referee for the last 12 years. You know, in the submission grappling world, that's pretty serious. And, you know, you mentioned Canadian competitors. Well, we've already got people signing up out of the U.S., and I understand it's not official yet, but there may be a group coming from the United Arab Emirates.
Wow, coming to represent.
Yeah, absolutely. From their military combat submission team. So
you just put a huge smile on Tyler's face. He's looking really aggressive in the studio. You got to see this, Jerry.
Well, I wish I could have made it down there tonight. I was looking forward to meeting Tyler Versley. So great opportunity for you, Tyler, because it's just going to be an amazing showcase for submission grapplers.
I have no doubt about it.
Yes. Now, there's boxing, there's kickboxing, and I understand there's a sports jiu-jitsu tournament.
We have sports jiu-jitsu in there, which, of course, is you know, what I train in. And although I have to admit, I haven't been to the gym as much as I should have been the last year. But, you know, we've got sports jiu-jitsu. And, you know, it's about as close to MMA, amateur MMA, as you're going to get. You know, it's punch, kick, take down, you know, all the submission work, the groundwork, the arm bars, the rear naked chokes. It's that whole thing. So it's pretty exciting. And, you know, when we talk about this whole thing about the sanctioning of MMA and should it happen, not happen, is it a blood sport or what? Hey, kids 7, 8, 10 years old, come on down and watch them in sports jiu-jitsu. You know, it's going to change your mind. You know, if you're sitting on the fence out there in the general public, you know, you're going to see that this is actually a very fast-paced, interesting sport. So we're excited to have that. It's sanctioned by, you know, the PSO. Which is Ontario Jiu-Jitsu, and we're excited to have that there.
Absolutely. Now, MMA Expo obviously is known for their booths. You sample all kinds of products, all kinds of different companies. Any examples you have that are coming back or that are new this year?
Well, we've got a couple of, you know, on the booth side, we've got some cool products that are being launched this year, and I'm kind of sworn to secrecy on this.
It's okay. You can tell me. I won't tell anybody.
Okay. Well, what's happening is we've got a couple of interesting products, and, you know, that's exciting for us, too. You know, the show is getting to the level where we get companies to call us and say, listen, if you can keep it on the QT, this is what we'd like to do. We'd like to launch this year, and we're going to do it at your show. Some of those conversations are going back 3 and 4 months. So that's interesting to see. It's helping us, you know, get to another level. And there's some very cool ones upcoming. I can say that although the paperwork hasn't arrived on our desk yet, we did get a verbal this morning from Dethrone, which is cool to bring them up here. And someone who's been kind of quiet up in this area for some time in Canada is Bad Boy. And so Bad Boy's coming back with a bit of a vengeance here. And so we're excited to have both those companies, which we haven't had with us in previous years. And there's a bunch of others, too.
Now, you take a look at some of the different stations that are coming out to support. Some big names, some heavy hitters. One of these heavy hitters is from the States that helped you put together the Philadelphia event.
You know, again, we're excited about it. We love our local support. You know, we've certainly had, you know, the Fight Network in with us in the past, but you know, we've always been excited about having you and MMA Connected related to the show, because I mean, you guys are the premier stations out there, and we love having you there. But having said that, too, you know, having HDNet Fights as a sponsor of the event is very exciting for us, because, you know, we all love to pick up that programming. You know, it's not pay-per-view, so a lot of people can get introduced to MMA via that network, and it's exciting to have people like Guy Metzer and such with us, so it's pretty cool.
So you got the MMA tryouts again this year. The winner can get a $2,000 prize, including a fight contract with local promoters. You've got the Paradise Warrior Seminars, which I've been to on numerous occasions. This is where, you know, fans can train with some of the world's best. You can actually roll with some of the world's best. And you got this new MMA Video Game Championships. What is this?
Well, we're just putting the finishing touches on this. We're working with a group called PG Media and their sister company called Playgrounds. And we're putting together on the show floor, they have a huge area. It's going to be the size of about 8 booths, giant screens, and a video game championships awards here with some pretty interesting prizes coming up. More details to follow on that over the next few weeks if people would you know, just sign up to either the Facebook group or what have you on site, and we'll keep them posted on what's up. But this is really for, you know, all you armchair MMA wannabes that really don't like to get punched in the face.
There you go. List of celebrities, Jerry, include, of course, Jeff Jawson, who we'll talk about momentarily, Carlos Newton, Nabil Khatib, Shoni Carter, hopefully some of the UFC fighters right now. I'm sure some of these guys are a little bit injured right now. Do you want to mention any of their names?
Well, we've got Patrick Cote, you know, who is coming in. Again, these are a good group that are, that you, as you mentioned, Joe, you can roll with these guys for 2 days. I mean, seriously, how cool is that, you know, to get in there and roll with people like Faraz Zahabi, trainer to GSP, and Ken Florian. I mean, that, honestly, how often could that actually happen? And you know, that the seminars are filling up there, obviously, for that. But we've done it on a rotational basis with Paradise Warriors, and you know, you sign up to the seminar, and it isn't like you just get to be with one guy. You're on rotation with these people all weekend. Faraz Zahabi, Andre Orlovsky, you know, King Mo.
Now, wait a second. You're going to have Shoni Carter and King Mo in the same building.
Oh, yeah.
This is the reason why I will be in Vancouver.
It's good. You know what? It's going to be wild. I love both these guys. Shoni's been with us. This will be his fifth show that we've had with Shoni with us. He's just a blast. You know, he's so great with the fans.
He brings
all his belts and his pimp suits and, you know, his top hats. And you know, he truly is the real showman of MMA. And honestly, I love the guy. He's just a down-to-earth, great guy to party with. And you know, when I was in Philadelphia, I happened to take a cab back from the hotel at the after party that we had, and to grab the cab on the street. True story. I grabbed the cab to head back to the hotel. I got in the cab. I couldn't believe it. Sitting on the dashboard was one of Shoney's top hats.
Shocker.
In Philadelphia, he'd forgotten it. But anyway, we got those guys, and he and King Mo, and just yesterday, really excited about this, Joe. I'm not sure whether you know about this yet, but we signed Jake Shields. To come on down again in a seminar with Paradise Warriors Retreat. You can train with a guy.
Jake Shields, man, that's a big name right there in the welterweight division. That is huge.
Well, he, you know, I love Dan Henderson. We've had Dan with us a few times. Jake, wow, it was just another level, wasn't it? I mean, he totally dominated Henderson.
Yeah, and that was at middleweight. That's the ironic part.
It's unbelievable.
Now, I'm sure you've got more surprises coming up with celebrities because you keep announcing them as we get closer to the show date. Of course, there's the MMA Expo Hottie Six-Pack. You got to check out the website, ladies and gentlemen. You got to go to MMA Expo, or sorry, MixedMartialArtsExpo.com to take a look to see what's there. I understand they did a great job at Extreme Couture last week. They'll be available for photos all week. And, of course, you definitely want to check out Facebook as well as the corporate website for Mixed Martial Arts Expo. Jerry, very important to you and I. You're spearheading a movement that we're talking about here Saturday, May 22nd at Queen's Park in Toronto, MMA Day.
Well, you know, MMA Day is in a lot of ways long overdue. You know, we've been working on this for some time, just getting the permit, you know, to hold a rally on the lawn of Queen's Park, you know, is no easy feat. There's so many rules and regulations involved in that. So we're really excited about having gotten that done. That's important. An afternoon there to, you know, for people to get together. And, you know, this is not a protest. I mean, you know, we've had a lot of interviews on this already, and people think that we're, you know, we're out there to try and beat the crap out of the government or something. No, listen, this is about the fact that there are legitimate reasons why people should take a second look at mixed martial arts as a viable, as a realistic, as a legitimate sport in the province for lots of reasons. But one of them, too, is, you know, the financial benefit of that. And we're not suggesting that we should, you know, take a couple bucks in exchange for, you know, producing, you know, something unprofessional. You know, we're talking about all the martial arts here that are currently sanctioned in various ways, you know, in the province, and just having them under one umbrella, which is mixed martial arts. So this is an opportunity for families and businesses to make a statement about, you know, let's take a second look at this, the province, please, and see how, you know, many people are affected or could be positively affected by the sanctioning of MMA.
Now, tons of different people are going to be attending, from fighters to businessmen to the tourism industry, the hotel industry. You'll be speaking there. I'll be speaking there. We have the first Canadian UFC welterweight champion, Carlos Newton. Yeah. We've got Sean Pearson. We've got Mark Hominick from the WEC. We're trying to secure Sam Stout, current UFC lightweight. We've got the founder or the CEO of the Fight Network, Loud Noen. And, of course, Jeff Jawsland will be facilitating the full press conference. People alone should come out and check out that press conference. It's going to be great. But overall, it's a celebration of the sport of mixed martial arts. We want to get thousands of people in a nice, beautiful, peaceful rally on Queen's Park. It's going to be a great day, Jerry.
I think so. You know, really, again, it's not a confrontational issue at all. It's a matter of saying, you know, there is a lot of business being done now. You know, you're an example. I'm an example. There are many examples. All of the schools and, you know, all the apparel companies. There is a lot of business being done in this province right now, legitimately and within the restrictions, the heavy restrictions that we have in and around MMA. But there's just a long list of companies from not only just the martial arts schools and training facilities, the fitness, there's the health and the wellness and the sports medicine side of things. There's all the trainers. You can even go so far as to say, you know, the tattoo shops and the photography and videography. There's just so many other areas, you know, here that could be thriving, the hotel and the tourism industry. Let's take a look at this. You know, I mean, honestly, should we be passing on this when our neighbors, you know, to the east and to the west, you know, both provinces, you know, are running successful MMA ventures on an ongoing basis every month? Thank you very much. They're doing just fine.
We will be talking about MMA Day and MMA Expo for the weeks to come. We're getting closer to MMA Day, and of course, we're getting really close to MMA Expo. Jerry, looking forward to having you back on the air, hopefully in studio over the next couple of weeks. Thank you very much for coming on the air.
Always a pleasure, Joe. You take care now.
There you have it. Jerry Chompik, the founder of the MMA Expo, and of course, spearheading the movement for MMA Day on Queen's Park in Toronto. We'll come back, take your calls after the break. You're listening to The Showdown on Toronto Sports Radio, The Fan 590.
Don't wait. Hear it now. This is where you get the story. Toronto Sports Radio, The Fan 590 and fan590.com. This is The Showdown. Showdown with Showdown Joe on Toronto Sports Radio, The Fan 590.
Welcome back to The Showdown. I am your host, Showdown Joe. We're talking mixed martial arts, UFC, Dream, Strikeforce, Heavy Artillery, Shine Fights, and everything in between on Toronto Sports Radio, The Fan 590. Before we get to the calls, one of the fights from UFC 113, Kimbo Slice losing to Matt Mitrione. I never thought the UFC would cut him, only because he's a ratings draw. He's money in the bank. But Dana White, I guess, made it clear he doesn't belong in the octagon anymore. What did you make of that cut?
Well, you can see as a skill level, I think it's all right. But for money, he would have been a good fighter to have on a fight night and bring attention to other fighters just as one of the first fights on that card.
Before we went to the first break, we spoke about the seven Canadians on the card. Only one emerged victorious. Joe Dirksen defeated Tom Lawler. It was a bad night for Sam Stout and Patrick Cote and Jonathan Goulet, Tim Haig, Jason McDonald, of course. What are your thoughts on the Canadians on the card?
I didn't think Goulet or Cote was going to win. Cote spent way too much time on the shelf. And I thought Sam Stout was going to be able to keep away from Stevens, but I guess he had a different plan, wanted to block punches with his face.
And there you have it. Now, we'll take some calls right now. First things first, Kyle from Vegas. Kyle, what's going on, my man? Is Kyle there? All right, let's go to Claire in Pickering. Claire. Oh, which one? We're going to Kyle. We're having some technical
business. Where are we going here? Where
we're
we
going to Vegas, Kyle. How are you, sir?
Hey, I'm doing all right, Showdown.
What's going on?
First of all, it's always good when you have someone else with you to keep you in check. I like when you do the shows.
Story of my life.
Yes, I like that. Quick thoughts. GSP versus Costs. Do you agree or disagree that Costs should get the title shot? I, for one, do not think he should get the title shot. What do Tyler and Showdown think?
Jake Shields, John Fitch, or the winner of John Fitch, Thiago Alves, are the guys that I would have put up there. But I guess, it's money, it's ratings. Josh Koscheck or Paul Daly taking on George St. Pierre via The Ultimate Fighter is money in the bank for the UFC. Tyler?
I think the winner of Alves and Fitch should have got it, but with the layoff with Alves and his brain surgery, you can see the timing didn't really work out.
What about Paul Thiago if he knocks out Martin Kampmann?
That would be my pick.
Yeah, Paul Thiago is definitely a contender. I want to see him in there too, especially with the submission game he's got.
Kyle, who's your pick?
Mine would be Paul Thiago.
Yeah, if he destroys Martin Kampmann in Vancouver, man, this guy belongs up there for sure.
And I just have a funny feeling. I mean, we see fights like, you know, get canceled all the time, and that's a long way off. I just have a feeling something's going to happen, especially if Jake Shields gets signed in the next 6 months.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, I can make 170. You know that, right?
Yeah, it doesn't matter. You know, Shields can make him fight at a bunch of weight classes. What, GSP is going to fight at 170? Who cares, right?
Tyler, what do you cut? You cut to 155?
Yeah, 155.
I can make 170.
I whatever I eat is what I weigh.
That's pretty much it. What else is on your mind, Kyle?
The other thing was, it's kind of crazy when we were talking, you know, a couple months ago about, you know, titles not changing and, you know, BJ Penn and, you know, all that stuff about domination. And now look what's happening. Titles are going down like crazy. And I think Lesnar's the next one to go down.
Oh, yeah. I think he's going to have a hard time with Shane Carwin. But I do believe Shogun Hua is going to hold that title for quite some time.
That was my next question. I think he'll defend once. It looks like it's going to be Quentin or Rashad. I think he'll be Quentin. By the way, Quentin's going to be Rashad, by the way.
I believe you're wrong. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay, well, yeah.
I'm going to go with Kyle on this one.
Then again, I thought...
Of course, you got my co-host now agreeing with you. But actually, one thing, Kyle. Tyler made a quick point before we came on the air. He's looking at the value at some of the odds out there for Saturday's Strikeforce Heavy Artillery card. He really likes Brett Rogers.
I agree with him.
Oh, geez, guys. Are you serious?
Just if I had a gun to my head, I would never take Brett Rogers. But with those odds, I don't know how you can't. Especially with that whole... overeign steroids, howly look kind of.
It's not
thing.
Steroids. It's a horse diet from Eastern Europe.
Sorry. The horse meat. Horse. I apologize. with that whole, like, I mean, how's Overeem going to look? Tyler just was talking about Patrick Cote taking a long layoff. Overeem's taking a long layoff from the horse meat.
Yeah,
so,
but you know what?
How's he going to look?
I think he's the best striker in the heavyweight division outside of even better than the guys in the UFC. I think he's just going to knock out Rogers. But Tyler's giving me the old hold on a second.
I just think with Overeem, his chin is always a question. He's either going to knock a guy out or he's going to get knocked out himself.
True. I mean, Brett Rogers doesn't exactly have the phenomenal stamina either. I could see them both kind of huffing and puffing if it gets to the second round. But I think Rogers is definitely a live dog. But if you want a live dog. John Fitch is currently an underdog right now. I think Fitch beats everybody except GSP. If you want an underdog, you take Fitch.
I think Alves is going to win that fight.
Okay, showdown. Tyler and I will have our own show.
No, let me ask you a quick question. Anything else that you see on this Strikeforce card? We've got Arlovski, Silva, Jacare against Villasenor, Roger Gracie against Kevin Randleman, and Cavalcante taking on Antoine Britt. Do you see anything there worth value for anyone that wants to take a look at putting some money down on mixed martial arts on Saturday?
Besides Brett Rogers for value, I would take... I just have a weird, weird feeling that Souza's going to lose to Joey.
Wow.
Yeah, well, I disagree with that.
I just have, like, he shouldn't.
Wow.
If they fought 20 times, he'd win 19. I'm just going with the old look ahead. We've seen it before. You know, Mark Coleman beat Stephen Bonner.
That's true. Now, moving forward to the Shine Fights card, which is also going to be on pay-per-view on Saturday night, you got Ricardo Mayorga, a boxing champion, coming over, a former boxing champion, taking on Dinero Din Thomas. You got David Heath taking on Ninja Hua. Azeredo's back, taking on Crazy Horse Bennett. I'm surprised Bennett's actually fighting again. Ferreira against Jamal Patterson. And your boy, Tyler, Brawler with Stima, taking on Rick Hahn. Anything, Tyler, anything, Kyle, that you see there that's worth dropping some coin on?
I don't like huge favorites. But if Din Thomas loses, then he shouldn't even walk out of the octagon.
This is going to be a statement in terms of boxing versus MMA. It's the first one before James Toney and Randy Couture.
Yeah, and the same thing for Randy Couture. Parlay Din Thomas and Randy Couture. Those guys are not going to lose.
There you have it. Kyle from Vegas. Kyle, thanks so much for the call, man.
Thanks. Keep up the great work.
Thank you, man. Let's go to the calls are still coming in here, but if you want to talk Kimbo Slice, you want to talk UFC 113, anything regarding mixed martial arts, give us a call, 416-870-0590, 1-888-666-0590, and *590 on your cell phone. Let's go to Claire in Pickering. Claire, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Excellent. How can I help you today?
Just calling in as more of a comment. Calling in as a teacher and a mother of three.
Okay.
In regards to your MMA day that you're holding. And, you know, I just wanted to give credit where credit's due. I have a long waited for something like this to come in the community where everyone is getting together and kind of showing all the different positive avenues and different things that people just don't really realize when they think of MMA and UFC.
You said you're a teacher and a mother of three?
Yes.
Do any of your kids train MMA?
What's that?
Do any of your kids train at all?
Yes, that's what I was saying. In my own experience, we have had some, let's say, troubled children in the school, as well as I have a very hyperactive child. And, you know, in opposite to what a lot of other people would think, the MMA, as far as what it has done for them, is giving them guidance and a focus and, you know, a need for continuous improvement and directed their energy somewhere positive rather than going in and contributing all their energy or curiosity or you know, negativity in other directions that really could harm them. So I have nothing but praise for the sport, and I welcome anything like this to show the positive avenues so we have it sanctioned here.
Wow.
I want to say good job.
I never saw this call coming from a mile, Tyler. This is Claire, any chance that you and the family will come down to support and perhaps raise awareness, for MMA Day, Saturday, May 22nd?
Yeah, I can't say we'll have our school shirts on, but we have definitely a lot of teachers and a lot of mothers and families coming down to meet you on that Saturday.
Oh, wow. We got fans?
I guess you do.
Thank you very much for the call, Claire. Really appreciate it. All the best to you and the three kids, and please continue to spread the word about mixed martial arts. Please call again. Really appreciate you calling in. Thank you very, very much. Tyler, thank you for coming in, man. We got about 10 seconds to go here. I appreciate you coming in, breaking down the fights. I know you want to talk Brilho Stima. He's not going to have a good fight against Rikon, you believe, but it's all good. Thank you very much for coming in. We're going to head back to Sportsnet because you and I obviously got much more work to do. Thank you to all the callers and all the listeners. You're listening to The Showdown on Toronto Sports Radio, The Fan 590.